You shall love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The second reading, 1 John 7, 9, 11, and 12. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us.
Wake up, kids, dreaming is not a disease. Age 14, already down on your knees. Souls polite, we're busy still saying please. Frenemies, when you're down, ain't your friend. Friend or enemies, from the beginning to what end? First we run, then we learn how to cry. But when the night is falling, you cannot find the light. You feel your dreams are dying, hold tight. You know that heaven's in you, don't let go. You know that heaven's in you. One dance left, this world is gonna pull through. Don't give up, you got a reason to live. Don't forget, we only get what we give. Four a.m., we ran a miracle mile. We're flat broke, but hey, we do it in style. Time to move, they're coming in for your trial. But when the night is falling, you cannot find a friend. If you feel your dream is breaking, we'll just bend. And you got heaven in you, don't let go. You know that heaven's in you. One dance left, this world is gonna pull through. Don't give up, you got a reason to live. Can't forget, you only get what you give. This whole damn world could fall apart. It'll be okay if you follow your heart. If you're in harm's way, I'm right behind. Just say you're mine. You know that heaven's in you. You know that heaven's in you. Don't let go, you know that heaven's in you. One dance left, this world is gonna pull through. Don't give up, you got a reason to live. Can't forget, we only get what we give. So wake up, kids, you know that heaven's in you. Wake up, kids, this world is gonna pull through. Wake up, kids, you got a reason to live. Can't forget, we only get what we give. Can't forget, we only get what we give. We only get what we give. Wake up, kids. Wake up, kids. Wake up, kids.
What a journey. We began 9 weeks ago to ask questions, to ask the very questions that humanity has asked since antiquity, since the beginning of time. What happens when we die? Where do we go? Who will be there? Is there a there at all? What's the reason for living? The hereafter? Here or after? As promised, the summer would be full of questions, and certainly it was. My mentor, Marv Meyer, among others, taught me long ago that questions are often better than answers anyway. And yet, thanks to scholars like him, we've been able to do some digging around and have actually come up with some answers. We've looked at statistics. We've done scriptural analysis. We've examined the original meaning of the words heaven and hell in both Hebrew and Greek. We've engaged in socio-historical criticism. We've looked at literature that influenced the writing of our texts and early Christian interpretation. Likewise, we've studied earlier traditions and religions that impacted the understanding of such concepts of heaven and hell and a dualistic worldview. We've looked at the underlying theology that drives this type of belief in hell and questioned its scriptural authenticity. Yes, we've grappled with original sin. Thank you, but no thank you, St. Augustine. And of course, there's also atonement theology. Again, I personally will take a pass on that, but it might work for you. We've wrestled together with the hardest concept of all, the problem of evil. And we've faced the reality that even when historical and biblical analysis may not add up, we witness a very real hell on earth. Likewise, we engaged in Torah study and examined the many Hebrew words for heaven, came to an aha moment in the realization that the Gospel of Matthew's resistance to using the name of God first placed an image for us of a castle in the clouds. We had to stare that political rebel who dared to preach peace and inclusion right in the face. And we had to come to grips with his radical affront to empires of humanity as we learned to decipher his enigmatic descriptions of the kingdom of God, or as the Gospel of Matthew prefers, the kingdom of heaven, which Jesus says reigns right here on earth. This systematic study that we've undertaken has been one we've done with maturity. We vowed always to never check our brains at the door. And yet, even our intellectual quest has revealed a sense of mystery. That all the study, exegesis, philosophy, theology, and mental contemplation cannot answer. The questions still remain before us. The answers? A matter of faith. Gehenna, Uranus, hell, heaven? What's it all about? The hereafter? Here or after? I warrant that we may never have answers about what happens after we die. But I want to challenge you today, as I've been challenging you all summer long, to choose which realm you will live in now, heaven or hell. Too often, they take us by surprise. We're forced to walk right through hell, wondering if we even have the strength to get out. And yet other times, heaven just sneaks upon us, overwhelming us with joy, with a peace that passes all of our understanding, and with a deep sense of love. And despite the seeming randomness of it all, I have come to believe that we have at least a modicum of control over which state we live in. We can choose to remain in hell, give the devil the power, that is, pass our power over to other forces. Or we can claim our citizenship in God's kingdom of heaven, the very realm that exists right here. We can live in it. Now, it might sound trite and perhaps overly simplistic, but I believe that it's really all in the glasses we choose to wear. Are we powerless, or are we empowered by our God? Did the devil make us do it, or do we have a bit of divine in us and thus hold the power to be Christ's hands and heart in this world? See, I told you there were a lot of questions. So I've spent a lot of time talking. I quickly added it up, and if I had been speaking on this topic straight without talking, without stopping, talking, it would have been a 3-hour lecture. And then if we included all of the hours of research and writing time I put in, I think it'd add up to days of contemplation. But I know from at least some of you, I haven't been the only one thinking about this. It's piqued your interest too. So I want to take a moment to open it up to all of you. 9 weeks later, have you had any realizations this summer? Did you learn anything new? What do you think about the hereafter? Is it here or after? Suzanne, I see your hand raised. What do you say? Yes, there's evil in the world, definitely, but there's also goodness too, and it depends on how we look at it. We have the ability to take actions to prevent evil. Thank you. Marta, what have you thought of this summer? Thank you. So with coffee and cereal and a lime tree and a hummingbird, Marta found a slice of heaven at home. Realized it was there all along and you just hadn't opened your eyes to see it. Thank you. Anyone else have any realizations? Yes, Carol. So Jesus showed us heaven, and prior to Jesus, you didn't believe that there was such a thing, and Jesus' presence among us gave us heaven. Okay, and so for you, the atonement theology works, and that you believe that Jesus died, and in Jesus' death, heaven became available for all of us. Oh, thank you. What else? Rick, what did you come up with this summer? The secret to life, says Rick at the gym, always be ready to give and receive love. Perfect. We're right on theme today. Kimberly? So it's certainly not the series that put this in your mind, but as you deal with grief, and any of us who have dealt with death in our lives are forced to ask this question. We don't always get answers. Sometimes we find comfort, and sometimes we just ask more questions. Thank you. Gina. A little heaven on earth and a wedding day miracle. Thank you. Other thoughts? Anyone remember what Gehenna is? What's Gehenna? Where's Gehenna?
It's a refuse dump.
It's a refuse dump. That's right. You paid attention. Location where they burn trash just outside of Jerusalem, made for a fitting metaphor for hell. The burning smoke, smell of trash reminded us all of the burning that some of us have to walk through sometimes. It smells awful, feels awful. Any other realizations this summer? More questions? Yes, John. Servitude and humility. It's a great starting point. Well, we all have our own ideas and beliefs. I continue to affirm that sometimes it's the questions that lead us to live life most fully. There are a lot of questions. I suppose that you may have hoped that by the end of this series, I would tell you what happens when you die. But if that's the case, I don't think you listened closely enough that first Sunday. I don't have those answers. But I can affirm this. God is love. And thus, love is the most important thing. Jesus tells us so clearly when he echoes the Shema, love your God with all your heart and soul, and adds for us, love your neighbor as yourself. Life is all about love. And as the writer of 1 John affirms, that's because God is love. If we love one another, we know God. God lives in us. God's love is perfected in us. So, if you were one who came here looking for answers, here's the answer key. Love. It's the answer to every question. What happens when we die? Love. What happens when we live? Love. I can't tell you where we go or how we go or what it's like or if it's anything at all, but I believe it's love. I don't know where you're at right now. If you're in a moment of heaven or you're walking through hell. But ultimately, I believe the answer is love. Somebody asked me towards the beginning of the series if I was going to share my personal beliefs about heaven and hell. And I asked her to wait and ask me again after the series was complete. So, here goes. I think I made it clear over the last several weeks that I don't believe in hell as a place. I do not believe in a loving God that would ever condemn anybody to go there. Nor do I think it is possible for such a place to exist so absent from God's love. God is everywhere, ever expansive. And a place like hell just couldn't exist because if God's love were there, it wouldn't be hell. However, I do believe that there are times when hell exists on earth. And for those times, I thank God that we are never alone. God is with us. Even and most especially in the times we feel most isolated, most abandoned, and most forgotten. God help us. God help us when we find ourselves living in hell on earth. And God grant us the strength to help one another. Heaven? Well, I think it exists on earth as well. I'm grateful that I've been blessed to live it a time or two. When it comes to what happens after we die, I don't know. I embrace the mystery. I don't know, but I believe that we become a part of God. I believe that our energy gets enveloped into this cosmic force of love that moves the universe, propelling us onward towards good. And so I imagine that upon my death, I will be enveloped into God's loving arms. This gives me great comfort as I face and wrestle with the death of those that I love and the pain of their absence in my life. So, there you go, my beliefs. Of course, my beliefs are just that, mine. We each have our own. But if you ask me, the answer to all of it, the answer key, love. It's the key, all right. It is the key to the kingdom. Amen.